I want to get right into the Word of God today. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. We think of freedom today. And the title of the message today is Freedom is Not Free. Salvation is free, but the price that it took to get it wasn't free. And it costs many people many things for us to live in a free country today. Amen. Just by the raise of hand, how many military people that you've served in some capacity in the military? Praise the Lord. I want to give you a hand. Thank you for your service to this great country. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense, for if by one man's offense many died, much more by the grace of God and by the gift, and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. Praise the Lord. Verse 16, and the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift, which came from many offenses, resulted in justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience many were made righteous. Father, thank you for the word today. I pray that you'd bless, encourage, strengthen us. I pray your Holy Spirit, Lord, administer God throughout this place. Anoint your servant, anoint your people, help all of us to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Freedom is not free. But we think of Independence Day. We think of, many people think of parties and fireworks and all that kind of stuff. And many people like fireworks. I like them. I like them when somebody else bought them and shoots them. Or else all your money goes up in smoke. Nah. No, seriously, 4th of July, we celebrate it. It's a federal holiday in the United States commemorating the adoption of the Declaration of Independence 241 years ago, July the 4th, 1776. It's then that the Continental Congress declared that 13 American colonies regarded themselves as a new nation, the United States of America, and were no longer a part of the British Empire. Many wars and much bloodshed was made for the national freedom we enjoy, but freedom came at a price. It wasn't free. Our nation was founded upon national leaders who were Christians. This nation started out as a Christian nation. And many of its laws were founded upon the Ten Commandments. And we strayed a long ways from that. But it was originally founded as a Christian nation. Freedom of religion at that time had to do with denominationalism, not the inclusion of all world religions. Amen. I guess the founding fathers thought that we could get through the denominational differences. But if we have the freedom to worship God the way we need to, the one true God, the Christian God, that's the way it ought to be. And we strayed far from that today. Freedom of religion has come to mean something else. But I'm not here to give a political speech. But spiritual freedom came at a price. The Son of God laid down his life, shed his blood to pay for the spiritual freedom and eternal life we have as believers. Had Jesus not completed and finished his work on the cross, then we would not be forgiven, not even of one sin. Jesus came to fulfill the law, and he's the only one that ever did. He fulfilled the perfect righteousness of the law, and therefore his sacrifice was a perfect sacrifice. His blood he shed was sinless blood, and it's the only blood that can atone for the soul today. But I'm glad that his blood is more than enough to cover every black stain of sin. I can tell you, he can make the vilest sinner clean. It's the blood of Jesus that does that. Hallelujah. And Jesus right graciously laid down his life. He had the power to lay down his life and power to take it again. Because he didn't just die, he rose again from the dead. Has the authority to give eternal life to whosoever will. Praise the Lord. Let's look first at the debt of sin. Debt is nothing new to most Americans. Probably nothing new to most people in this room. Some debt is unfortunate, comes from unfortunate reasons, for accident or from high cost of being treated in a hospital or center of some type. And there are commercials out there on who to contact to become debt-free. Probably the people you contact are not debt-free to start with. They might be. But commercials on who can get you out of trouble with the IRS, or advise you on how to get out of credit card debt. But that's not the greatest debt. The greatest debt is that of sin. And sin is the greatest bondage. And there are no human means by which this ironclad grip of sin can be broken. It has to come through spiritual means. And only God can provide that. Because we are indebted to God for the sins that we committed. It's a sin against God, the Creator, the ends of the earth. And Paul and his apostle to the Romans, he said, I am indebted both to the Greeks and the barbarians, to the sinners, to the Jews and the Gentiles. He said, I'm indebted to them. He said, Paul was under obligation to preach the gospel, the gospel to people, both Jew and Gentile, that they may receive eternal life and forgiveness and atonement for sins, and a canceled debt of sin. Amen. And that's what Jesus does when he saves a person. He cancels their debt of sin. Amen. And they become a child of God through new birth, and their sin is gone forever. Praise the Lord. Brother Glenn, they're buried in the depths of the sea. Amen. As far as the east is to the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. God has not a unique ability. He has all ability. But we are hard about forgetting. We don't forget very easy. If somebody does us wrong, we may say, I forgive you, but we intend to pay them back in the future. That's a carnal side. It shouldn't be the way. If you're a Christian, you're not that way. You shouldn't be. But I want to tell you something. God has cast our sins into the depths of the sea to be remembered against us no more. If God wanted to remember, he could, but he has the authority, the ability to lay them and say they're forgotten. Never to be remembered against you again. Amen. I'm glad. All have sinned and owe a payment for sin. We know that. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. To be in debt spiritually isn't freedom. A person may be a free person. They may be able to go, may have their health, their strength, their life, their youth. And they may go and do all whatever they want to do and not be a Christian, and still they may enjoy that. But to be in debt spiritually isn't freedom. They're still in debt. To be addicted to sinful things is not freedom. To participate in sinful activities is not freedom. As a matter of fact, it generally brings bondage. And people get wrapped up in habits and things that they can't get rid of themselves, and only with the help of God can they be free. But I'm here with good news. He whom the Son has made free is free indeed. Jesus can set you free. He can make you free. He can take what person is addicted to whatever. And I'll tell you, you're not the first one. God has set many people free and continues to set people free and to cancel the debt of sin, regardless of how large it may be. But condemnation is a word that is used here in the Scripture. Verse 12, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all, for all have sinned. But condemnation here. And condemnation and bondage came because of sin. And we know several places here it's mentioned that while one man's sin entered the world for the whole human race. In essence, it says that. And by one man's obedience to God, there became atonement for sin, or payment for sin. And so, the word condemnation here is a judicial word, meaning to be condemned. And through Adam, mankind, the human race, became condemned because of Adam and Eve's sin in the Garden of Eden. And, you know, I don't understand how somebody growing up or who was created in the perfect likeness or the perfect sinless state could ever sin, because Adam and Eve did not see what sin would do to the whole world if they sinned, but they did sin. They partook of that one thing that God said, you can eat of all the trees of the Garden of Eden, but don't take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for the day that you do, you shall surely die. And death was a stranger in the Garden of Eden. It never existed there until man sinned. And the minute that Adam and Eve sinned, they died spiritually, in the sense they died in their relationship with God, and they began to die physically. And mankind has been dying physically ever since. Amen. I'm the only one that said amen to that. I didn't know that didn't encourage you. Well, we're all going to die one day, physically, but you don't have to die spiritually, because you can be born again. And so willfully and knowingly, the first humans committed the first act of disobedience against their Creator. God's command for Adam and Eve was to multiply and to fill all the earth. And all the earth would be filled with the perfect goodness and righteousness of God. And the glory of God would fill the earth. And the earth would be completely from sea to sea. There was no sea then. But as far as that goes, the earth would be populated only by people who feared God, loved God, and lived in the purposes and the plan of God that God had for them. But we know that Adam and Eve failed in the Garden of Eden. And poor Adam and Eve, they've got run down and cut down for many years now for their sin. But we want people to forget about ours. So anyway, they were condemned. And people, theologians, are not at the same level of knowing whether Adam and Eve ever repented or not. You can just take this if you want to. We know that some things happened to them immediately, knowing that when they sinned, they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves, and they were afraid to see God, and afraid to stand before God, and afraid to answer God, because they had never been separated from God in any means whatsoever until they partook of that which was forbidden and disobeyed God. And so they sewed their fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. For the first time, they realized they were naked. Anyway, and we know that God did not accept their covering, and He killed animals and took the skins of animals and to cover them, and that was God's covering. And many believe that that was their salvation, because it required the shedding of blood, and they accepted God's covering, and that was their salvation. There are other ideas of that, and you know, so it's not worth an argument right now, but we just know that they sinned and they had to pay for it. But instead of the earth being filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, and it will be one day when Jesus returns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but the earth, instead of being filled with righteousness and holiness and truth and greatness and goodness, the earth was filled with sin and remains filled with sin today. Instead, today we find earth filled with violence and sinful activities, demonic things, things so cruel and ungodly, the result of choosing sin above God. My friend, that is not freedom. But freedom is being delivered and forgiven and set free from the law of sin and death. Praise God. And through Christ came justification of life, a justification that produced life. Judgment and justice must come from a holy, pure, and righteous, and just God. God, and being God, can do nothing else but be righteous, holy, pure, and just. We hear an awful lot about God's love, and God is love. The Bible says He is. And we hear all kinds of sermons on love, and God loves you no matter what you've done or where you are, but God does not let you love you enough to let you continue in the sinful lifestyle He saved you from. God loves you. God cares for you. It's God's will for you to go to heaven. It's God's will for you to be with Him forever, my friend. But when it comes to sin, we must be confession of sin. And God is a just and holy God, is not just and righteous if He does not obey the nature that He has. He must judge sin. And my friend, we're very blessed today that there is a way to not be judged for our sins. And that, of course, is through faith in Christ. Because all that can come from a holy God, if there's not righteousness, is wrath. God is mercy, and that does come from God. God is love, God is truth, and God wishes all to repent, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is not anxious for anybody to lose their soul. Matter of fact, God has made it possible that every man, woman, boy, and girl could hear the gospel and be saved and born again of God's Spirit. They won't have to enter the judgment for their sins. The Bible tells us in Romans 1:18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Jesus said, John 3:36, He says, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. He who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." So it's either we submit ourselves and give ourselves to Jesus, say, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." I tell you, that's a prayer God will respond to, because He loves even the sinner. He didn't love his sin, but He loves the sinner. Amen. And so we find that the debt of sin is there. It has to be canceled before we can go into heaven. And it can be, thank God, because God is the God of grace as well as the God of justice. But let's notice, second of all, freedom came from a divine source. As a matter of fact, anything good does come from a divine source. The Bible tells us every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no shadow of turning. Amen. And so freedom came from divine source. If we go back to John chapter 15, I believe it is, or is it Luke? Which are you? Prodigal son. And we know the prodigal son, that he thought freedom would be being away from the father's house. And he says, "Father, give me all that I got coming to me." And so he divided between his two sons the livelihood. And the prodigal son went into a far country, you know, and there he squandered his estate with loose living. That's New American Standard. He wasted his life with prodigal living. He wasted everything, every penny that he had. He spent it all upon fun and games and everything that was unprofitable for him. And being far away from the father's house, one day he realizes that things were not so bad at the father's house. And the son returned, and the father came running and welcomed him back home. And that tells us that God can restore, does restore the repentant sinner. The person who strayed so far away that they think they can't get back, I can tell you something, there is nothing that God can't deliver from or can't save from. He saves people that you and I don't have any use for or wouldn't have any use for. But God saved that, amen. I won't tell you, we're of no use to no one until Christ saved us. But God loved us and God cared for us. But freedom came from a divine source. Yeah, the prodigal son realized that freedom was not free. He spent it all. And he was found, last of all, the most degrading job a Jewish person could have was feeding hogs. But there he found himself in the hog pen, saying, "You know, even my hired servants of my father have it better than me. At least they've got something good to eat." And so we know that freedom wasn't free for the prodigal son. But for you and I, for our sins, it cost heaven's greatest treasure for there to be a way to be delivered from sin. Amen. And heaven's greatest treasure was the Son of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but God the Son we're talking about here. The Bible says that God became mankind. He did. 1 John 1:3, 1 through 3, let's just go from there. In the beginning was the Word, Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And verse 14, it says, the Word, Christ, became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Aren't you glad that God is full of grace and truth? Praise the Lord. And so we find that God sent His Son because the only way there could be a perfect lamb and a perfect sacrifice through sinless and perfect blood would be for God to become man, which He did. You've heard me say it before. It took the Son of God to become the Son of Man so that the sons of men could become the sons of God. And love is the reason there is any means of freedom from sin, eternal condemnation, and freedom from eternal judgment. Love is the reason why. If it was God did not come to us just because we were such good people and you just got to love that guy or that person. No. God loved us when we weren't worth loving. John 15 and 13, it says, greater love hath no man than this, but that a man lay down his life for his friends. There is no greater love. Amen. You and I in this room, if you have a child, a son, or a daughter, you wouldn't sacrifice that child for something bad that somebody else did. But that's what God did. The pure, sinless Son of God, the great I Am, came in, took upon human flesh, took upon Himself a form of a servant. Being found in fashion as a man, He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And therefore God has highly exalted Him, Christ, given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. And so that love is the reason why. Praise the Lord. And today, all the good news is people can be free. Love is pictured in Christ going to a cross. We sang about it this morning. We worshiped about it. And I can't help that when I'm singing or thinking about the cross, it affects me on the inside. Praise the Lord. Because the blood that dripped from Calvary's tree that day was for you and I. Amen. God made sought reconciliation with man through the blood of His Son. Hallelujah. And people can be free. Hallelujah. From their sin, free from the burden of sin, free from the guilt of sin, free from the condemnation of sin, free from the judgment of sin, because Jesus was judged in our place on the cross for our sins. He took the weight of every guilt and every sin, every worth bad thing, and however guilty you've ever felt. Some people don't seem to feel guilty about anything, but He took all the guilt and shame of countless generations of people that were and would come and atone for their sins. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Heavy load, but He carried them. And Jesus said, John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Scribes and Pharisees answered Jesus. They answered Him, said, we are Abraham's descendants. We're kin to Abraham. We're in the Abrahamic covenant. We have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say, Jesus, you will be made free? Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is the slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen. By new birth, by accepting Christ as Savior, by inviting Christ in your heart, you become born again and you become a child of God and you are considered one of His. Not in any way equal with some foolishly have tried to make that equal with Christ, the Son of God, as we are. But we are not equal with God and we are not equal as sons of God in the sense that Jesus was. But we do become children of God by new birth. And God is the giver of life. And heaven will be free, amen, to all who will enter by faith into God's covenant that He's made through His blood, the blood covenant. Praise the Lord. Heaven will be free of all sin, all evil, all pain, all sorrow, all suffering, all judgment. Heaven will be a free place. And people who have been set free from sin will be welcomed into heaven's gate. He'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. So God is the giver of life. Heaven is where there will be nothing but freedom. Not the freedom for people to sin, because there will be no sin there, but the freedom to worship this Lamb of God forever. I can only imagine what heaven will be like. We have some revelation in Scripture as what it will be like. And it's powerful if you read the last two chapters of the book, Revelation 21, 22. Adam brought sin and death, but Christ brought grace and life. Romans 5, 15, our text here, but the free gift is not like the offense, for if by one man's offense many died, much more by the grace of God and the gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. The price of freedom is God becoming man. Such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Amen. So we know that what God did on the cross, we can take it personally. It was for us. We don't have to enter into life to be a condemned person, a rejected person. You know, ball teams get together when they're kids and they choose sides, and everybody wants the person that's just known for a little more athletic ability than everybody else. The Word of God says to Christians, you are a chosen generation, not certain ones, but all. So we're chosen by God. And God rejects no one. And God condemns no one that will come to Him in faith and believe what He did, what His Son did on the cross was for their sins. And so freedom comes, and freedom is the absence of condemnation. Faith in Christ delivers from condemnation and brings freedom. Freedom from the law of sin and death. Let's go to Romans 8. If you get discouraged, read Romans 8. It's good. Romans 8, 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free, you got it, from the law of sin and death. For what the law of Moses, could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and on account of sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Praise the Lord. That's God's word on it. That's not Ken's word. That's God's word on it. Praise the Lord. Oh, that's all it is. Praise the Lord. God's word. And so unbelief brings condemnation and judgment, but Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Praise the Lord. God wants us to be a free people. Amen. We're free to worship God, free to live for God, free to serve God. We're not free to sin as the old nature wants to do, but we're free to live for God and serve Him. Freedom to live above guilt. Freedom to worship. The Bible says in John 4, 24, God is Spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in the Spirit and in truth. Amen. Now the Lord is the Spirit. This is 2 Corinthians 3, 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty or freedom. I'm thankful for the freedom to worship God today. We can raise our hands, we can praise the Lord, we can read the Bible here without fear of having been put in jail or killed for our faith. It's not like that in all countries. We're a blessed people because we can do that. Amen. And along with the blessing comes responsibility. Just because we're blessed, say, oh, I'm free. Amen. But you're obligated to worship and to serve the God who has made you free. And we're encouraged throughout Scripture to be faithful to God. It's because God has been faithful to us. Amen. Because we want God to deal with us when something goes wrong in our life. We want God now. We don't want Him later. We don't want Him to come down the road some other time. We want Him now. But the Bible says, Jesus, God said, call upon me and I will answer you. God hears every prayer. God knows everything. God forgives all sins. If you confess our sins, if you don't, but if you do confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. And to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. freedom to worship, freedom to spread the gospel, freedom to pray and intercede for the lost, intercede for persecuted church and family. My friend, don't let persecuted church get out of your thinking. You pray for those people. It could happen here in the United States. I'm not a prophet of doom, but I can tell you something, friend. It may come to the time before the coming of the Lord that if there's a real price to name the name of Christ right here in the United States of America. And it could happen that way. I don't know that it will happen that way because I can't see the future. Amen. But I can tell you one thing. We got to stand and live for God if it cost everything. Amen. Even our lives. But my friend, those people that have died for their faith, it cost them their physical life, but they're in the clouds of glory in heaven forever where there's no terrorists left. Or ever enter there. Thank God for that. Praise the Lord. So our duty is to be saved, born again of God's Spirit, then to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and remain full of the Holy Spirit. Let me end with this illustration. Speaking to a large audience, great preacher of old, D.L. Moody, held up a glass and asked, "How can you get air out of this glass?" One man in the audience shouted, "Suck it out with a pump." Moody replied, "That would create a vacuum which would cause the glass to break, to shatter." And throughout his audience, after numerous other suggestions, Moody smiled and picked up a pitcher of water and filled the glass. "There," he said, "all the air is now removed." Then he went on to explain that victory in the Christian life is not accomplished by sucking out a sin here and there, but by being filled with the Holy Spirit. And we can be. Amen. "Be not drunken with wine in which is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." And that word there means a continual, repeated filling of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so God could put forth his hand and give us freedom. Praise the Lord.